When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol. It's been a busy couple of days, hasn't it, with the Champions League. Now seems a very apt time to reflect on what we saw. And arguably one of the biggest stories was Manchester United, of course, finishing bottom of the group, battered. Out on the booze, rock bottom. Auf Wiedersehen, of course. It was Bayern Munich who beat them, but the damage was done earlier on in the group stages. Would you like some fun facts, Stephen, about Manchester United?
Oh, yes, please.
Or not so fun facts, as their case may be. Oh, no. 12 losses.
These are fun, don't worry.
12 losses in 24 games. That's the most defeats in that time since 1973. 15 goals allowed in 6 Champions League matches. That's the most ever by a Premier League side in a single Champions League group stage. And finished last in the Champions League group A. You have to go back to 2005 for the last time that happened. Neda Manua is with us from his ski cabin today. Lovely to have him with us. Neda, obviously you live in Manchester. What are Manchester United fans saying about this whole debacle?
Well, they're obviously very unhappy, upset, pretty moody about things, saying it's all doom and gloom. But even though it was a few weeks ago they said their club's back, you know, this is a sort of roller coaster ride of emotions that, you know, these guys are having this season. And you saw the stat there about how they've lost 12 games. They've also won like half their games as well. So they literally are up and down. But that Champions League run they've just been on, you know, that was a mess. So many mistakes along the way, so many times when they had the lead, so many moments when they could have been doing better and should have been doing better. And to leave it to your last game against Bayern Munich to try and find a way through, hoping a result would go your way elsewhere, I think kind of sums up the season that they've had so far. There's a lot of disappointment, people asking questions about the manager, about the players, asking why are so many players injured, whilst also waiting for this takeover to happen, which apparently has been going on forever. So I think there is a sense of doom and gloom. So I'll tell you what could fix it. A trip to Anfield on the weekend, that tends to be the best remedy for such things.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? Stevie, it's the first time you've been on since that defeat at Old Trafford. What was your reaction to the manner in which they lost?
I would like to say I was surprised, but I wasn't really. And to be honest with you, I wasn't sure whether I was more concerned about the performance or more concerned about how the manager thought about the performance. Because both the players and the manager, not that we didn't know this, have shown us that they're absolutely lost.
Right.
They're just lost. I mean, there's no part of this team that is working, whether it's the goalkeeper, the back line, the midfield, or the forward line. And there's no question, the coaching staff, run by Ten Hag, doesn't really know what the answer is either. I mean, it's pretty clear. Because of the performances, all those fun facts just tells you that this is not a good side. And in my opinion, it's down to the main two problems are the recruitment and the manager. You know, the recruitment.
So the manager has to go?
Yes. I mean, how can a Manchester United manager be allowed to produce these sort of facts, these sort of performances, these sort of results, and then not at least turn around and tell you that, yes, we're struggling and we're trying our best to fix it? At least you would come out with some sort of credibility.
So it's what he's saying after games as opposed to what he's doing during games that frustrates you more?
Well, listen, as a fan of a football team, right, I'll tell you that if the manager's telling me the truth and I can see that he's trying everything, then you give him some time or he's buying time. But when the team is as bad as this and the manager's coming out and telling you that actually we did pretty well, it's over. How can you follow a guy who is blatantly, and that's the problem, he's either blatantly lying to you or he doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh, he's saying one thing to the media and another within the confines of a dressing room.
But again, Dan, if you're saying what is blatant to anybody that what you're saying is completely and utterly wrong, which I believe what he's talking is absolutely wrong. I haven't heard anybody else that's actually agreed with his assessment, but this is not the first time he's come out and told us this. He continually tells us how well they're doing. And if I remember rightly, that's exactly the path Solskjaer went. After every game, they were getting better, we're getting better, we're getting better. Well, and eventually he went, Ten Hag has to go, come on. Man, this is Manchester United. There's a reason why we're talking about them all the time. Because they're so huge, they're such a huge, big club. That's why we talk about them. And there's no way that anybody can think that these results and these performances are okay. And at the end of the day, you can't get rid of the whole team. The one guy you can get rid of is the manager, because somebody else might be able to make something of this lot.
Here's the thing. If you're Manchester United or interested in some capacity and you're trying to fix this and you're given a magic wand to fix it and you're told you have to get rid of the worst functioning part of this football club, I'm not sure what that is.
Right.
I'm not sure. If you had a magic wand, if the answer was change the entire playing staff, change the manager and his staff, change the ownership. It's a total mishmash of disorganization, of nobody seeming to know what it is. Ultimately, you're judged on your results, and when results don't go as you want them to, inevitably it's the manager who's left holding the can. But it's debatable as to who's the biggest issue here. I'm with Stevie in that Ten Hag isn't covering himself in a whole lot of glory here. Results aren't great. Post-game press conferences aren't great, you know, are transparent. Telling everybody that you're leaving Varane out for tactical reasons makes no sense. Telling everybody that Onana is second best keeper in the league makes no real sense. So, again, when you're the front-facing part of a club, as a manager is, you end up getting more blame than maybe you're due. And as a result, you probably find yourself in the hottest water.
Is Graham Potter the answer?
I don't honestly have an answer. I do know that Ten Hag's not the answer.
I have an answer for that.
Right, go on, Shane.
Listen, Graham Potter went to an equally dysfunctional club in Chelsea and didn't do an awful lot. You want somebody, and I'm not sure there is that somebody out there, who can manage kind of the dysfunction that is Manchester United right now. Who can sing from the right hymn sheet, who can get the best out of a poor bunch of players. I'm just not sure that Graham Potter is that person.
Because of what happened at Chelsea?
Yeah. He was left taking the blame for a lot of dysfunction within that football club. I don't think that Graham Potter is a bad manager at all. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you need somebody who can step into this storm and somehow make sense of it. And I'm just not sure that Graham Potter is that person.
Is there anybody?
That's the key, isn't it? So you're saying Ten Hag needs to go, but you have to have a competent replacement.
I'm sitting here and listen, whatever you think of Mourinho and people like Van Gaal, whatever you think of them, they couldn't do anything about it.
No.
So that's why I'm struggling to come up with anybody. Because this playing staff that they have right now looks as though it's incapable of putting any sort of results together, a string of results together.
So if you're Sir Jim Radcliffe, you're in charge of this whole sporting project. What do you do?
Well, you've got to get rid of a lot of the actual playing staff.
Right.
Question. Which is not going to be easy because people... Like, Casemiro and Varane, I think, are two great examples, right? Do you think for one second the reason Real Madrid let these two guys go is because they were at their best?
Right.
Do you know, it's a lot of the answers to the questions are that simple. You know, Johnny Evans. Come on, really, Johnny Evans, what are you doing?
Yeah. Martial, obviously.
You've still got Martial.
Martial's been there for 9 years.
Yeah.
Martial's starting after being there 8 or 9 years and done nothing over 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
And Hoyland. Again, is Hoyland a bad signing? No, not if you want him to be one of the best centre-forwards in 18 months or a couple of years. But you bring a young guy who's learning his trade still, who's got all the potential in the world, and you expect him to give you the goals to keep a team like Man United up near the top of the Premier League. It's mad. It just is madness. And surely your recruitment staff are asking these questions to themselves. You know, if you say, let's go and buy Hoyland, right?
Yeah.
And I'm on the committee, my first question is, hold on a second, this guy's only whatever age, he's not ready to be centre-forward at Man United, we're going to pay a lot of money, why are we doing this? Right. Can he handle it? What sort of car? I mean, these are all the questions that you should be asking before you even get a pen and paper out and start making offers. But, as I said, it's just a shambles, and I really don't know who the answer is. Because if Mourinho and Van Gaal can't sort out players who back then were pretty much doing what the team is doing now, I really don't have an answer for you.
So Manchester United finished bottom of their group, as did Newcastle, but a slightly different narrative, you feel, around them finishing fourth and crashing out of Europe. Toom Doom, Pulisic, Tyneside, Newcastle run out of steam. Just some of the back pages of the newspapers summing up Newcastle finishing bottom of the group of death. Of course, in the end, it is Borussia Dortmund and PSG who advance. AC Milan with a place in the Europa League. The debate yesterday, Stevie, was whether or not Newcastle were naive when it was level, when they were guaranteed a place in the Europa League, to be pushing for a place in the Champions League. Where do you stand on that?
Well, there's two things when I look at this Newcastle side and I look at what happened in the Champions League. And the first one is, to say they were naive yesterday, I think is very, very harsh, because the team that started the game had to start the game because there really wasn't any other choices. And when you go about it in the first half of the way they did, and you're only one goal ahead, you've got to try and get the other one. There's no way you can sit and try and be clever. And then you add to the fact that they're gassed. As I said, there's not a lot of changes can be made. You know, it does bring on Byrne, who's a defender. So I think it's really harsh to say they were naive. I just think the last couple of games, where, as opposed to the start of the campaign, where you want to be swashbuckling, generally when you come to the end, okay, you start thinking about the tactics. How do we get through it? How can we set up? Or who plays? Who sits? Who do you start? Who do you leave out? Where Newcastle, by the end of this Champions League campaign, had no choices. They weren't able to be trying to be clever. They were in a position where they had what they had, and were at home, and listen, we're just going to have to go and win the game. So I wouldn't turn around and say that they were just naive. And the other thing I would say is, being Scottish, we've been knocked out of so many tournaments in the right manner. By showing everything, showing spirit,
What's the words you use to describe it?
Oh.
Glorious failure.
Glorious failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a way to fail, and we're messing up. Glorious failure. Now, this is glorious failure, but I'll tell you what it does do. Because Newcastle, I think next year we'll be back in the Champions League, and if they're not, for some reason, definitely in the future...
That's quite a statement, Stevie, considering what's going on at the moment.
Well, they're now going to get a rest, and you've got to think that they're going to get players back between now and May. So that's a lot of time to win a lot of games.
Right.
And I think they're good enough to win enough games to be in the top four. And so this whole campaign, I think for Eddie Howe and his team and his players and everybody in Newcastle, has been a real learning curve. A real learning curve. And they will, this time next year, maybe go about games differently, particularly away from home.
7 points already, Shaq.
Yeah, I don't share Stevie's optimism that Newcastle are going to finish top four next season.
Are they going to be all right?
They'll be all right.
In general, though, like considering what's been going on with the players that they're losing, they've got Fulham this weekend, busy Christmas period coming up.
Newcastle will be all right. I don't...
What is all right?
All right is top seven, top eight.
So that's a big backward step.
That's a big backward step, yeah, from last season, absolutely. I think once Newcastle is they'll be better for the experience. Once they're able to get players back, I think not this season, but from next, Newcastle need to be expecting to finish top four. This season, you take a note. This season, you take a note.
Chucky, you can't honestly... I'll tell you what, if you're Eddie Howe, right, and you go and see the chairman next week, and I'm Eddie Howe, and the chairman's sitting going, we've regressed, we've gone backwards, I'd be like, hold on a second. Are you kidding me?
Well, you have gone backwards.
No, but
you can't just throw a blanket and say you've gone backwards.
Well, you can, because you've got the facts here. Last finish.
Last year you were fourth, now you're eighth.
Yes, so
you
that's
can't
backwards.
Just throw a blanket.
Of course you can.
Of course you can.
It's a backwards step, Stevie.
They've got no players.
You can't drop four.
They've got no players.
Other teams, look at the state of Spurs, they've got no players.
Oh, well, Eddie Howe should get sacked.
Well, no, I'm not saying.
That's exactly what you said.
That's not the argument you're
saying. If I said to you at the start of the season, If Newcastle go from fourth to eighth, is Eddie Howe going to lose his job? You go, well, he might do, because they've regressed that far.
So they haven't.
You would ask me.
So have they regressed?
How can you say they've regressed?
Because they're not going to finish in the top four, as it stands.
They've just played about eight or nine games with the same 11 game after game.
You want to play with the big
every
boys.
3 days.
So why even bother qualifying for the Champions League in the first place if you're not equipped to do
That's
it?
That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that the situation that they've found themselves in over the last, 10 games?
Yeah.
You can't turn around and say they're regressed. That's a completely and utterly unfair. He's had 11 players to choose from for the last 10 games. And you're saying that they've regressed. Really?
You want to
turn around and say that Eddie Howe has taken Newcastle from fourth last year and they've now regressed.
As a team, they've regressed.
No.
Maybe they've regressed back to the mean.
I'd like to think you don't understand what I'm talking about.
No, I do understand that you're very happy.
Don't blame Eddie Howe because they've no players.
Who's blaming Eddie Howe? When have I said anything against Eddie Howe? I've just said
Newcastle's regressed.
As a club, they have regressed. And that's a fact.
No, it's not.
Certainly, in terms of their league position, they've regressed. I am not putting I'm not putting any blame on Eddie Howe to your point about. If I'm Eddie Howe, I'm not.
Whose fault is it then? If they've regressed, whose fault is it?
It's a fault of a lack of experience that they will get better from by having to compete in the Premier League and Champions League. They're building and they will be better for that experience. That was my whole point. Yes, they've taken a step back in terms of their league position. I don't think they qualify for the Champions League next season. But as a club, they will be better for it. And I think as of next season, the expectation is that, given these experiences, they will be competing to finish top four every single season.
I agree that as a club, they'll learn from this year.
That's what I'm saying.
But you can't say that. You can't say they've regressed.
They're not going to finish top four.
You can't judge Newcastle.
I don't think they finished top four.
You can't judge Newcastle.
So frame that how you like it. I don't think they finished top four, so frame that how you like it.
And you know what? I'm not betting down 50 bucks that they're in the top four.
And that's what I'm saying.
My biggest problem is the way that the two of you are saying that they have regressed.
Because you can't say that.
You cannot judge Newcastle's performances on the field in any way, shape or form because of the situation they're in, because of the injuries they're in. You can't. That's completely and utterly unfair.
I have not been critical of their performances on the field
at all. You just said they regressed.
I have not been critical of their performances.
Well, what does regress mean? Is my English?
If one season you finish top four and the next season you finish eighth, I'm not sure how else you frame it how you like, Steve.
Okay, I agree with Shaka.
Frame it how you like.
But you've got a full team that's not available. How can you say that?
But
it's got nothing to do with Spurs. We're not talking about Spurs. We're talking about Newcastle. How the two of you can sit here and say it and use that particular word that they've regressed is beyond me.
So have they improved? Have they improved?
How are they going to improve when they've got a whole team out?
Are they equal? Is it yes or no questions I'm asking you?
You can't say either way.
You can't say either way.
Unless they've had a squad, a decent sized squad. If they had not any injuries, Shaka, and were sitting in the Premier League right now, the position we're in, I would agree with you. But they haven't. They've had the same players for the last 10 games. They've played every 3 days, pretty much.
I am not disagreeing with you at all. I am in total agreement with you.
Well, how can you say they've regressed then?
So with Newcastle's regression, obviously they're not in contention now to finish in the Champions League final, but who could win it all? Let's take a look at the odds. Manchester City remain favourites. Bayern Munich second, Real Madrid third, Arsenal and PSG make up the top five. Who's your money on, Stevie?
Oh, my goodness.
It's almost who's the best of the worst at the moment, yeah.
Well,
isn't it?
The problem is that right now, City, Bayern, Real, they're all not at their best. They're all far from their best.
Yeah. They've regressed.
No. You've actually got it right.
Well, there you go.
Well done, Dan.
But Real Madrid have got injuries. Militao, Vinicius Jr., Kevin De Bruyne is out.
They don't play against
City.
February.
Right, okay.
So by then, they'll probably have them all back.
They'll unregress.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
who would you put your money on?
I don't know. Is the honest answer.
Right. That doesn't make television.
I know. I'm trying to look into. of all the sides that I think will be better, Real Madrid.
Real Madrid.
Yes.
Over City.
Yes.
Wow.
I've got a feeling that City are not going to do what they've done in the last 2 or 3 years, and you know, come the turn of the year, when it matters the most, just put this incredible run together. I'm not sure that that's going to happen this year. I've got a feeling it's not. So I'm going to go for Real Madrid.
Who are you going for, Shank?
I still think City.
Right.
I just feel with the players to come back, including, most importantly, Kevin De Bruyne, if Pep Guardiola at some point can sort out their defensive weaknesses, I can't even say deficiency, they've just seen players who are just underperforming. If all of a sudden that turns around, I still think City are the team to beat. At the same time, as you mentioned, Dan, you look at the others, everybody has force. Yep. Probably the best of the chasing pack right now are Arsenal.
Arsenal look a decent bet.
Arsenal are playing the best football of everybody else. My concern around Arsenal is just that lack of experience later down in the Champions League. Does that come back to haunt them? Because more times than not, you come close without winning it before you go on and clear that final hurdle.
A lot more talk about the Champions League on the latest edition of the Gav and Jules podcast. That is available to listen to now. Be sure to check it out.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right, let's turn the clock back. Remember this? Newcastle against Arsenal. Newcastle would end up winning it by 1-0. And boy, was it a controversial goal that in the end gave the hosts all 3 points. And then, of course, famously, after the game, we heard quite the rant from Mikel Arteta using the word disgrace on a number of occasions to describe the fact the goal was given. He was not, though, charged by the FA. That we learnt that today, that I not got away with it, but this is what he said.
Yeah, we have to talk about the result because you have to talk about how the hell this goal stand up, and it's incredible. I feel embarrassed, but I have to be the one now coming here to try to defend the club and please ask for help, because it's an absolute disgrace that this goal is allowed. It's an absolute disgrace.
Okay. Don't worry, we've got the notes as to why he won't be charged by the FA. We found Miguel Arteta has been an impressive witness. Good start.
Well done.
He was told by certain Arsenal players that Willock, a former Arsenal player, had expressed the view that the ball had gone out of play before he crossed it into the penalty area. So it gave him some motivation as to why he thought maybe the ball was out. Now, the word disgrace used by Arteta in the interviews has a very similar spelling and pronunciation to the Spanish desgracia. The Spanish word has connotations of misfortune, tragedy, or bad luck, rather than the connotations of the English equivalent, which suggests contempt, dishonour, or disrespect. While the English meaning may lead to interpretations of abuse or insult, this was not the intended meaning of the comments. I tell you what, give Arteta's lawyer a watch over that.
Let me tell you something. I have not seen an authoritative body do such gymnastics in trying to excuse somebody. Mm. Now, first of all, I have no problem with Arteta being cleared of any charges. I think if you stick a microphone in a manager's face right after a game, especially it's an emotional time just by its nature, and then given some of the controversial calls, not just the goal, but in the game in general, you're going to get that kind of a response. And you have to be prepared for that kind of response. So I have no problem with Arteta losing his cool and seeing what he does. I have a real problem with everything about this, though. I mean, to say it is farcical is maybe underscoring it. I think it's a little dangerous in some respects. And I'll say this. First of all, you say he's a credible witness, but then the other part of the statement is, no, he didn't really answer all the questions. I mean, I don't know how you do both. The other thing is this word desgracia that apparently has a different connotation in Spanish. In 2020, Edinson Cavani joined Manchester United. 3 months later, sent a tweet to say a friend of his using a term that was friendly by all accounts in Uruguayan context, that he received a three game ban for, that he at least had the grace not to appeal. Now the FA to Cavani was at United for 3 months. Now you turn around and use a Spanish word and saying, well, there's a different context to it here, so that's why we went a little bit easy on Mikel Arteta. Mikel Arteta, who's been in British football for 20 years. And you use that as the excuse as to why, well, he didn't really get the... I mean, come on. At what point are you going to stop contradicting yourself? Make it make sense.
Have they set a dangerous precedent here, do you think, Nathan?
Not necessarily, because I think this one will kind of be standalone. I think the criticism that they will receive will be just as well, because, you know, I'm with Shaka, all the points he's made about Arteta's been in the British Isles for 20-odd years. I think when you listen to him speak, he's giving really deep metaphors about waves being miles away, coming into shore when he's thinking about players improving their form and so on. So I think he's got a pretty good grasp of the English language. And I think the sort of mental gymnastics that they've put these this panel through, whatever, I think it is crazy. Like, you can say, oh, disgrace in Spanish means one thing. But when you're angrily saying disgrace in England, in English, when you're doing an interview for probably the 1,000th time, I think everyone kind of knows what you mean. But for him to be able to twist that, as Shaka said, credit to the lawyers or credit to whoever thought that could be a way to do it. But it just doesn't feel right to me when, you know, after the proceeding, they say, oh, this person is so impressive. Like, they're there for a reason. They're there because they showed something that wasn't impressive. And I don't want people to be getting fined, to be getting banned and so on and so forth. But the justification for saying that nothing comes of it sounds extremely weak. And even I think Arsenal, the day after Arteta said what he said, they backed him. He talks about the poor standard refereeing and another VAR mistake being critical to the whole body. Well, except Howard Webb, because he's the guy, Howard Webb. Yeah, we all love Howard Webb, apparently. But it just doesn't, It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, as I say, if you're going to let him off, then let him off. But don't try and tell us why he should be let off and give us all these reasons where we think, well, no, that's clearly not the case.
Did they get it right, Stevie?
Absolutely not. No, I to your question, to Needham, I initially thought, well, first of all, he's got some mates on the committee. Two, absolutely they're opening themselves up to the next person saying exactly the same. And then where do they leave themselves? But then having thought about that, the fact that they've come out and justified it the way they have done basically means that this lot think they can kind of do what they want. Depends what way the wind's blowing. Mm-hmm. Depends what suits the narrative. Depends how they feel. Shall we do it or shall we not? So there's no real consistency. There's never going to be any real consistency. If that group that came to this conclusion stays together for the next whatever, then the next time it comes along, we don't know what the outcome's going to be, because clearly it just depends what way the wind's blown that day, what they decide.
This was an independent commission who came to the decision then not to charge Mikel Arteta, despite what he said after the Newcastle game. Just a reminder, plenty of content over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go to ESPN FC and subscribe. Plenty of content there for you.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Despite a defeat on Thursday, Liverpool finished top of Group E in the Europa League. Toulouse finished second. Elsewhere, Bayer Leverkusen are perfect. They won all of their matches in the group stages. And what a season it's been so far for Xabi Alonso. They are unbeaten. They've won 20 out of the 23 matches. So surely they must be top, shouldn't they, of Shaka's power rankings?
No.
They're down in fourth.
Fourth.
Far too logical.
Somehow. It's incredible.
Well, they drew two before this
game. It's almost
this
as if no thought goes into this process.
You would be amazed at how much data goes into it.
They've gone down three places.
Yeah, they drew two games back to back. You get punished for that. Girona top.
Real Madrid not draw recently?
Yeah, they drew against Real Betis recently.
What? One. They drew one game. Bayer Leverkusen drew two.
Juventus. Oh.
Yeah. Juventus have lost 1-7, or drew 1-7 or 8, something like that. They're flying.
So you would have Juventus, well, clearly you do have Juventus over Bayer Leverkusen.
Well, right now, Bayer Leverkusen drew two before this game.
I'm guessing style doesn't come into the algorithm.
What?
Style of play. I mean, Juventus, seriously, boring the pants off everybody.
Yeah, but Juventus...
Bayer Leverkusen are just a joy to watch. Surely that counts for something.
Yeah, it counts for a lot. They're fourth. They were top before they drew. They drew two before that game today.
Arch.
Yeah.
Nathan, what do you make of this?
Do you know what? It makes for great conversation. Yeah, again, Shaka's perfected the art of just confusing people with the rankings. So long may it continue. One of the best segments on the whole show.
Oh, goodness. Can we just take a look at it again a moment?
And
just,
oh no, do we have?
Yeah, I just want to see what else is going on. Aston Villa up there to sixth. What's PSV done wrong?
What?
Aren't PSV perfect
why
in the Eredivisie?
Arsenal down seven.
PSV drew. Villa. Villa are flying. Villa beat Arsenal. So Villa moved up.
So why did PSV move down?
Seven. Arsenal just lost.
Seven, though.
Arsenal lost to Villa. And then drew at PSV Champions League.
Well, yeah. So if Leverkusen drew two, they only get 2 points. Arsenal won the game before and got more points than Leverkusen in the last two games, but they've dropped seven.
I have no idea what you just said.
Why are PSV going down?
Because Villa moved up.
Why did Villa move up?
Because they beat Arsenal.
But PSV are perfect.
They drew with Arsenal.
What? PSV didn't... What?
PSV drew with Arsenal in the Champions League.
So, what does that mean?
And Villa beat Arsenal. No. So Villa go above them.
Right, OK.
I don't know what's so hard.
This, but Villa drew that, today. Go on, Adam.
This is like the college football playoff, isn't it? You know, it doesn't matter that you stayed perfect. We just don't want you in there. That's the whole point.
Oh, wow, Nader.
Once again, I don't know what that means either. I don't know what that means.
Thank you very much. Have we done enough for this?
Oh, it's been great.
It's great. It's something. I'll tell you that. Extra Time is available over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to have a look at it. Plenty La Liga games for you then this weekend. A full programme of matches, including big one on Saturday at Mestalla. Valencia against Barcelona. Barca, of course, losing in the Champions League this week. And then on Sunday, Real Madrid take on Villarreal. All of these matches are live on ESPN+. Also, a full round of Bundesliga matches as well on Friday. Borussia Mönchengladbach take on Werder Bremen. But take a look at this lineup for Sunday. Bayer Leverkusen against Eintracht Frankfurt, followed by Bayern Munich against Stuttgart. A fascinating doubleheader there for you, which, of course, will be live and exclusive on ESPN+. Now, be sure to check out a brand new article that dropped on ESPN FC today as the 50 best women's players are ranked of this year. They discuss it at length on the latest edition of Football Americas, and that will drop tonight? Tomorrow. So what's today? Wednesday? Tomorrow.
Okay.
Shaka, you're on, yeah?
I'm on.
You're on? There we exactly. It's today, Thursday. Perfect. There we go. It's tonight then. I'm glad we all know what day it is. Well, we also know, of course, what day it was earlier in the week. Now, Stevie, you're off for your birthday, but fear not. We've saved the salutations for today. Here's just a taste of some of the best Stevie. I'm Dan Thomas, Shaka Hislop, Ali Morello, and birthday boy Stevie Nicol alongside me.
I mean, we got Southampton way down there.
We won one.
There you go.
I'm 5 foot nine.
He was just like past gas. Like,
we're talking about legacies here. The mind is passing gas.
You know, your granddad wrote a book.
We'll read it in bed.
There you go.
How about now?
Stevie, your knees are the same colour as the sofas, man.
So after an hour, I had no idea where it was.
There's no way Louis Armstrong's been on the moon.
Hey, the game's on.
You guys are making fun of my country.
She says it wouldn't take you long to wash your hair, will it? Hey! I'm talking to someone that happened like 40 years ago, darling. I'm not pinpoint accurate, you know what I mean? My wife cannot say burglar alarm.
Burglar alarm.
100%.
The cat
Listen,
does it.
If you think, you know, diddy him.
Where's the bloody cat?
Can you come and get the cat, please?
Shut up, one minute. Look at the career.
Don't be the referee.
I'm going to go tell you what.
Did he get the results?
6 minutes.
Did he get the results?
6 minutes.
Oh, shut up.
Give him. I hate every second.
You really look like you hate it.
So I don't know where the Atlantic Coast is. I don't know where La Rochelle is. And what was the name of the place?
Wait, Steve, you know where the Atlantic Coast is?
Well, where is it?
Oh, don't tell me the Atlantic.
Yes!
Well, where the bitch's that?
No!
On the left,
on the left.
Man.
On your left. Left, Stevie. No, that's your right.
Way. That's your right.
There's nothing there.
What do you mean there's nothing there?
There's a little statue of a girl there.
A little statue.
No!
I've got no idea what you're talking about.
Stevie's got an infected finger.
Oh, it's bossed.
Oh, no! It is. That's what the smell is.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
How
can you not love you, Stevie? My goodness me.
That was smelly.
It was smelly. Oh, tell me about it.
Oh God.
Oh, happy birthday, Stevie.
Thank you, Doc.
Nathan back with us, Shaka and Stevie here as well. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We've just shown a compilation of some of Stevie's best bits, and you can't help but laugh, Stevie.
That's only some.
Oh,
that's only a
I know, exactly. It just could be a whole show.
Oh,
it'd be brilliant. And the thing is, it's all organic. You don't think, oh, I'm going to do this today.
It just happens.
The infected finger bursts. It just happens to get lost. Lost in the woods.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Nathan, did you enjoy that compilation?
I absolutely loved it, actually. Stevie Nichol is one of the best people on TV. That's what makes this show, well, one of the reasons why the show is one of the best in all of sports. So, yeah, I love that. Need plenty more of that from Stevie.
Very true. And we're laughing with you, Stevie, not at you. Some of the time. Stevie, did you have a good birthday with Haggis? I spoke on Monday that you were alone because Eleanor was away. It was just you and Haggis?
Just me and Haggis. I did exactly what I wanted.
Beautiful.
Which was?
Nothing.
Cursed?
Absolutely not.
Tell Shaka what time you got out of bed today.
I got out of bed at 3:40.
Just to be specific.
Well, I had nothing.
PM.
Yeah. Well, of course, PM.
I had nothing to do. I got up at 7:15 and took Haggis.
Yeah.
To the daycare.
Right. Oh.
So I got back about 8:30. Went back to my bed. I only got up about 10 and went to do the shopping.
Right.
So I thought I'll get up. And I thought, well, why am I getting up?
No, exactly. What's the point?
So what I did was I stayed in my bed till the football came on at 12:45.
Yeah.
Just stayed there.
Oh, lovely.
And I had to get up to get Cheryl to come in here.
Oh, yeah. What an inconvenience.
And I had two rolls and bacon and egg and a cup of tea that Eleanor brought up after she came home.
Goodness, Stephen, you're living the life.
Oh, tell you what, it's fantastic.
So was there a delayed celebration when Eleanor returned? Did she bring by your presents of any sort or a card?
She left me a bag with stuff in it.
Oh, like a goodie bag of presents.
Yeah, a goodie bag.
Oh, what was in there?
Cheese and onion crisps.
Perfect.
Cadbury's fruit and nuts.
Yes.
A couple of little bits and bobs, you know.
Yeah.
Like mugs with stuff on them, you know.
Oh, you're not as impressed with that.
No, but I'll tell you what, the chocolate and the crisps went doing well.
I bet they did, Stephen. Well, glad to see you really looking after yourself in your later years.
Only live once, Dan.
No, very much so. Very true. Should Messi be among the top three of FIFA the best finalists?
What's that now? What's that one?
Just an award for the year, I think.
For the calendar year?
Yes, why not?
Oh, no.
No?
Calendar year, no.
No.
See, this is all the questions of what people think of this award. When this happens, tells you it's nonsense.
Right.
Is he
with Haaland and Mbappe? Yes.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Right. Oh. I mean, come on. Seriously.
Come on, Nathan. Sort it out.
Yeah, ridiculous. You know what I mean? People show love to Messi. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Oh. It's the first time, isn't it? Ridiculous. Stop it. Yeah. Yeah. Not for me. Not this year.
Not for you. No. I saw you were presenting a night with Kevin De Bruyne, Nathan. How was that?
Well, I wouldn't say presenting. It was actually for City in the Community, the club's charity. So I was one of the people that was on stage talking about it. It was a fundraising event, and Kevin decided to, you know, join that night to try and raise funds for the charity, and it was great. Obviously, I spoke for 2 minutes and nobody listened, but overall, raised a lot of money for the charity, and that's the most important thing.
When's he going to be back?
Sooner than you think.
Ooh.
But I can't say too much, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Oh wow, you got something
next week. I'm going with next
week. What happens if you had no idea when he was coming back?
What do you mean?
Well, if you had absolutely no idea when he was coming back, how was it sooner than you think?
I mean, next, Stevie. Go back to bed. Stevie, how much emphasis should Liverpool put on the Europa League?
Oh God!
Well, like it's a bit like the domestic cups, isn't it? It's the further you go, then the better side you put out. So I think he's shown that through the qualifying, he's not pushed his first team players particularly. So from now from now on, I think you go for it.
Yeah. Aye. Perfect. Absolutely. That's the way it should be. You got Carabao Cup next week, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that'll be a hybrid again.
A hybrid? Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think the Europa League, you go for it between now and the finish.
Nadim, if you were to join your former team in your prime, do you walk right into the starting lineup today, and do you think they'll be more or less successful?
So what I would do, I'd walk right into the training ground, collect my boots, and then walk out, because that's not where the place I'm supposed to be. Listen, I could potentially get better, but come on, let's be real. Come on, that's not me. Respectfully,
no,
that's not me.
No, I shouldn't have asked that to you. Stevie, you'd get in ahead of Trent, wouldn't you? Yes, I'm going to say yes.
All right. I'd probably say I would get in at left back as opposed to Trent, because you're not going to change.
Okay.
Clearly, you know, what Trent does on the other half of the field is unmatched. The balls that he puts in are unmatched, in my opinion. So, yeah, I think it would be the other side.
Did you have a preference?
Yeah, I prefer left back.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
I think it's probably because professionally at United, I played all my games at, other than a couple, I played centre back initially, but other than a couple, I played all my games at United as left back.
Right.
Liverpool signed me as a left back, but everybody said that I was coming to play right back, which eventually was the case. But then after that, I ended up playing left back again behind Barnsley for a couple of seasons.
All right.
Oh, it was fantastic. So, yeah, I would say I would get in the other side.
Was there a position that you didn't like? Because something about you was you excelled in a lot of different positions.
No. I played up front once for United.
Right.
I was like a fish out of water.
Okay.
Yeah,
different. But anywhere else, you're right.
Anywhere else, not pro, yeah. Playing football.
Nadim, where did you prefer, right middle or left middle?
To start with, it was right middle, but by the end of my career, actually, left side. I enjoyed having a different sort of look to the game and actually going out there and using your other foot as well. Because I think sometimes if you play left side of centre-back, you can get drawn into being a bit more predictable and having everything on your right. But moving to the left, it meant that you used the left, but you also had the right as well. It's a nice balance.
Shaki, you said that Newcastle regressed this season.
So here's a question, right?
So I didn't really want... It was just going to lead into this question.
No,
I don't want to start going over old ground.
I'm not going over it. I'm just saying, if you had said Man United have regressed, I would have said yes, because other than the couple of injuries they do have, but generally it's been the same players. So that, to me, would be the 100% if you said that they've regressed. But the fact is, it's not been the same players.
Okay.
That's why they haven't regressed.
All right, okay. We say
excusably, understandably,
that's
reasonably.
That does that not make sense?
Yeah, I just didn't want to go over old ground again because we did quite a lot during the show, but you continued.
Well, you didn't want to be wrong again, you mean?
Well, let's not go there. would Newcastle regress with you in goal?
Newcastle are plenty fine with Pope in goal. I.
You won't make them any worse, Shaq.
Over the Dubravka.
But that's a statement.
I think that's a nice thing to say.
They wouldn't be worse with you.
No. You would back yourself.
I think that was a backhanded compliment.
It was.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
You'd back yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you want. Perfect. A bit awkward. For all, which of these is likely percentages to happen? Girona winning La Liga. Okay. Percentage chance you're going to win La Liga?
Fifteen, Ireland.
20, higher.
Oh, 20. Stevie?
I'll go with Adam, 20.
20?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was going to say first, you know.
Wait, don't go with the flow now. Don't be influenced.
Well, I'm taking my 15. I'm taking my 15.
Yes. Jude Bellingham finishing as top goal scorer in La Liga.
Oh.
He's top scorer at the moment.
I'm going to go 46.
46%?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's more than that.
You think so?
Aye. Absolutely. There's absolutely no reason this guy doesn't.
Who's second?
Goals.
He's three ahead at the moment.
Of who?
Of second place.
Oh, okay.
Antoine Griezmann.
Mm. Oh. I didn't realise it. I thought he was further ahead than that.
Three ahead.
Ooh. I'll go 50-50 then.
Oh, and between those two, no one else has got a chance. No, Lewandowski might get some. Vinicius Jr. back from injury. Rodrigo's doing well.
Did you see Lewandowski last weekend?
I did. I saw him yesterday.
Yeah. He's not exactly setting the heather on fire.
Right. How many more has he got than Lewandowski? Four, did you say? Four. He's four ahead of Lewandowski.
Yeah. 50% between the two of them.
50-50.
Yes.
Ooh. Nadum.
I'm going to say a fraction higher because I think he'll probably need to get to maybe 20, 22 goals, and I think he can do that. So I'm going to say 60%.
Well, there we go. Final one. Six of Messi's World Cup kits sold at auction for $7.8 million.
What?
How much would each of your kits be worth? Stevie, you could sell, like, FA Cup final job against Everton. That would go for a Liverpool fan. They'd pay a lot of money for that, wouldn't they? What? Oh, obviously not.
400 quid.
Okay, that's still
just a little behind 7.
Well, there you are. You might
just a little behind.
Which would you say is your most sought-after shirt?
It would probably be a cup final.
Yeah. Everton one's the kind of one that stands out.
I would probably say either the Champions League final in Rome, 83-84.
Yes.
Or the 89 one, yeah.
Do you have both of those?
I think so.
Right.
I think so. I think they're still up in the loft.
Chaka, for you?
Well, what's my best shirt?
Yeah, most sought-after shirt, would you say?
I would think my most sought-after shirt is my Toronto Beagle World Cup shirt.
Yeah.
Had the whole squad sign it.
Yeah.
Have that in my loft somewhere.
Perfect.
Don't know what. Probably not worth 7.8 million, though.
7.6. Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows? Nadum?
It's a good question, Adam. I think, obviously, I've not played in a Champions League final. I've not played in a World Cup, so I'm kind of limited here. But I would say 2008, when Man City beat Man United for the first time at Old Trafford in 34 years, that game means a lot to a lot of City supporters. So maybe I could convince someone to believe that that shirt is worthwhile. But otherwise, it's probably just going to be a training top when I've scored some goals, yeah? But outside of that, yeah, I've got nothing more to give.
No, that's a good one. Definitely. Do you still have it?
Okay, well, yeah, I still have that. And in fairness, from QPR, there's the playoff final shirt 2014. That was probably the last time the fan base was overall quite happy. And then for Real Salt Lake, you know, when we beat the mighty LAFC in the playoffs in 2018 for that one game before we got knocked out in the next round. But, you know, aside from that, yeah, it's all good.
There you are. Beautiful. Do you have many shirts that you've swapped, Nadum? Do you have a prize one?
Not a prized one. I would tend to swap with some of my friends, but some of my friends end up being quite significant players. But the one which I probably enjoyed the most, I actually got one from Sadio Keita when he was at Barcelona. And even though he wasn't like the prime guy in that team, for me, it just felt surreal to be playing at the Nou Camp against that side and to see someone that, you know, was so successful with them. That's a nice show, which I'd probably never give away, to be honest.
Oh, lovely. There we are. Nice memories to finish with. That brings us to the end of today's show. We'll be back tomorrow where our focus, I'm sure, will turn to Liverpool against Manchester United. Ooh. At Anfield.
Oh, nice.
Are you in tomorrow?
Yep.
Oh, out of bed early again.